Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Again, and please lend me your ears. Remind those who are to be here to please come in for today's session. It is important that when we pray, we also share together words to help us with our focus, to sharpen our direction, and to help us gain the right perspective in the place of prayer. We do not want to pray like those who are beating the air, like shadow boxers, who just will be boxing the air and be imagining that they are boxing with someone. They hit nothing, they gain nothing, they win nothing. Nobody has ever won an award shadow boxing. Yeah. But as much as we are praying, we should then hear the word of God and be able to focus. Today I'll be speaking on the topic, set yourself apart. Set yourself apart. Set yourself apart. So when we hear set apart, usually it would indicate that God would look at a crowd and choose some people, and then he will separate them. He will say, oh, these ones are mine. And so we then get the notion, oh, that we are peculiar people. We have been called forth. We have been separated. We've been chosen to be special. And oftentimes, because that is the depiction that many of us have in our hearts, we then don't do anything after that. We are a chosen generation. We just sing it. We talk it, but we don't do nothing. We expect things to then happen naturally. We expect automatic, supernatural endeavors and opportunities and actions and events and occurrences to be happening because we've been set apart, right? Like, he set us apart, and he said that they have set us apart for extraordinary things, to do exploits. So, okay, I'm set apart. It's time for me to do the exploits. Let me start doing the exploit, and then you notice that many Christians, they can't. They wonder why they are not so special. Why God said they are special, but they couldn't do anything special. That is a paradox. It's confusing in many ways, and it's frustrating, you know, for you to be saying all the time that I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. The Lord has set me apart unto good works, unto great things. I'm going to do great and mighty exploits in the land of the living. You say it, you believe it, but then you see your life not moving in that direction. It is a contrary reality. It doesn't naturally make people lose their faith in God. It just makes people find excuses for God. Then you will see the ultimate excuse is in this way by and by. All these things, when we die, when we get to heaven, we will now enjoy it. That is the ultimate excuse. Like, when all things fail, everybody use that one to console themselves. That, well, it cannot happen in this world. It is going to happen when we die. Some other people will use the excuse of sin. They will say, oh, it is because of my sin. We cannot judge God unfaithful. We cannot judge God unfaithful. We cannot call God a liar. So therefore, the liar has to be me. The unfaithful person has to be me. His hand is not too short to save. His ears is not deaf to hear. But my sin has removed me from God. So some of us would then allude to sin as an excuse. And some of us will say, oh, it's a question of timing. That all the wonders that God said I should do, Maybe the time has not come for me to do them. Maybe my season of express has not come. I've heard pastors, Christians say, they will say, don't run before your time. Don't run before your time. you have to wait for your time. Don't run before your time. Don't be in a haste. Stay. You know, I've heard a lot of things in church. You know. The reason for that is because, again, they expected these things to be plug and play. If God says that we're a peculiar people, that we're a royal nation, and God says, I've set you apart, and this is the purpose of your setting apart, we expect that, okay, we have embraced it, we have become saved, so these things should naturally occur by themselves. It was a fatal mistake that many believers made that didn't allow them to fulfill purpose, thinking that the onus is on God to help them fulfill their destiny. Thinking that the onus is on God. If you look at the book of Daniel, you will see that Daniel did not have that kind of thinking. I believe it was Daniel chapter 2, 1 and then 2, when Daniel proposed in his heart that he would set himself apart. It was the one that determined it by himself, saying, I'm going to set myself apart. I'm going to set myself apart. I'm going to set myself apart. He told the three apostles, say, let us set ourselves apart. Let us not do what the other people here are doing. Let us not eat the food they are eating. Let us not pollute ourselves with the offerings that has been done to idols, which they are giving them to eat. Let us do things in a different way. Let us set ourselves apart. And I'm not trying to preach at you because these sessions are not meant to be sermons. I'd like you to please listen to me with a very open mind. All of us may be producing those. Everybody will look at the cheapest way to produce so that they can maximize profits. That is how you make your businesses prosper. But is there a unique selling point to your product? Is there a unique selling point? Is there a unique selling point that makes people want your product more than the product of other people? Did you deliberately sit down to think? All of us are tailors in this complex. I remember I was at Ibadan during the Christmas break. And I know that many people will be making hair. A lot of people will be making their hair around that season. And somebody was on the call with me, and the person told me that the person that will make her hair in Lagos, she had to leave her house 5 a.m. so that she will get to the place where they are making hair and be the first in line. And I said, in the whole of Lagos, you want to make hair and you have to go where? And she said, oh, you can't understand, but sir, that is the only person that could handle my hair. She's the only one, and that we are always so many. So I was curious. I said, okay, so how many people make hair? There, I forgot the name of the place. Said, oh, everybody there that they sell hair and they make hair in that complex, everybody makes hair. But that person, everybody's favorite. So if you don't leave early, you will not get your slot. The first day she went, they told her that she has to come back the next day. And that next day, she has to come very early so that she can get her slot. And I was like, what is this person putting in the hair that other people are not putting in the hair? Oh, so that person has set herself apart. It is not that there are not so many hairdressers or hair cutters But that person has found something unique. Something unique that I don't know if it's male or female, but that person has found something unique that made everybody say, this is the person we want to cut our hair with. You're in an office, you're working. It is the onus is on you to stand out in that office. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. So you come into an office, you're working, and you are afraid that if you outshine the others, they'll become envious, they'll become jealous, they will do some things to you. So you don't want to provoke anybody to anger. So you deliberately play down your worth. You play down your value and you refuse to shine. Then you are going to become mediocre. You are going to end up doing the barest minimum. And doing the barest minimum is going to work against your intellect. You are going to become duller and duller. One of the things about our brain is that it needed to be constantly challenged. You must always set for your brain. Otherwise, before you know it, they will say, oh, the brain cells are dying. Somebody is developing schizophrenia. I'm not kidding. A lot of times it is because the brain is moribund. It has a lot of redundancy. It has been put on autopilot. It is not challenged. They are not thinking of new ways to put your brain to work. So they used to tell elderly people that they should play puzzle, play Scrabble, play bingo, play Sudoku. Exercise your brain, exercise your brain, exercise your brain, exercise your brain. They tell 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, exercise your brain, exercise your brain. Because they know that it will atrophy. The brain cells would stop working, all the lights that will turn on when you need a part of your brain, those lights will go dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until eventually you become dull. And then you begin to have issues with thinking, with remembering things. Actually, I can't remember this thing. I've forgotten that thing. Ah, God, I have memory loss. God forbid. The reason for that is because you didn't put your brain to work. You didn't challenge your brain consistently. So eventually, what you don't use dies. It atrophies. So therefore, necessity is laid on you to be the best. To be the best. When I was working as a PA, I was in charge of many drivers. There are certain drivers we had, they were so good that when we were welcoming serious dignitaries, they would be the first in line, they would collect bonuses. We know that they are so good. That's driving. I can name three, four off my hand that we want them. All of these guys will be on duty. Why? Governor, this person is coming for this. We want our best drivers, our best hand. One of them will drive the church bus. And when it brings everybody in back to church for wherever they went to, maybe they went to do a party or they went to do a revival or a meeting somewhere, people, church members would be giving them money. Not only would he be fast, it will be safe, it will be cautious. People are trying to poach him. People are trying to poach him. The church will increase the salary so that they will not poach him. Because he stood out, he set himself apart. He said, okay, I'm going to be a driver, but I'm going to be the kind of driver that nobody sacks. I'm not the kind of driver that will work with you and then I'll begin to find the shortcuts, lie, change, shortchange. Still little money from fuel money. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to conduct myself in such a way that I'm becoming indispensable. And that is somebody setting himself apart, even in that kind of a vocation. It's not a good thing when Christians are ordinary. When there is the determination in your heart to do things in a different way, in such a way that you will compel attention without making noise. You must make up your mind. Set yourself apart. So Daniel decided that I'm going to set myself apart myself. And then he sold the idea to his three Hebrew brothers. And they also bought the ideas. They were like, okay, let us set ourselves apart. Let's do it. So how did they set themselves apart? It's what they're doing now. They set themselves apart by not engaging in mundane thinking. All the class talks, class jokes, time-wasting ventures, gossip, all sorts of things. There are some people, too many things. They went away from that. But they would still have the same time, the same amount of time that all the others will have. You know? Everybody got 24 hours. So this other person, within the 24 hours, he will go just with friends, go clubbing, go drinking, go doing this, go doing that, pick the phone, talk to this with that. But you are not doing all that. Therefore, you have the whole time to yourself, and all that time is full of static. There is no activity because you have decided you are not going to do what they are doing. So how will you then fill your own time? That is what makes the difference between those who set themselves apart the right way and those who set themselves apart the religious way. Religious people will set themselves apart and they fill their lives with activities that is a form of godliness but has no spiritual benefit. They will put one prayer meeting on one day where everybody will come and shout. They will put one Bible reading for that. They don't do Bible reading. I know many churches that don't read Bible. We read Bible here. Every year, we read from Genesis to Revelation over and over and over again. We read all versions in JSOPMI. But I was in another church for several years. I'm not sure. They just read their daily devotional. And then the pastor will preach at them. But there is no Bible reading. And Bible reading is important. This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. Shall meditate on it day and night. So it is important that if you are going to set yourself apart, you are going to read the scriptures. Then you are going to pray. Daniel prayed. Daniel made a challenge that let me test out this thing in 10 days. Let me see if this set apart thing can make us more healthy, even in our body, than those who are eating the king's meat. So setting yourself apart makes you healthy. The reason for that is simple. Out of the, it said you should guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. A lot of times, the reason we fall sick is because of what we take inside, both in terms of food and in terms of thoughts. In terms of food, in terms of information. Information makes people sick. I've seen people slump. Information, just hear one news, and the person will faint, and the person may die. Just tell her, ha, 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 ha. I say, what happened? Many of you remember the story of David and Amnon. When Amnon raped Tamar, and then she cried all the way from Amnon's house to her mother's house. And a brother, Absalom, saw it and made up his mind that he was going to avenge his sister. And he was patient. He didn't act immediately. He plotted his revenge. He waited a year. Then after 1 year, he said he wanted to hold the feast in his house. And so he said he wanted to host the feast. He invited the other princes to come. And Amnon was a crown prince. If the crown prince does not go to your occasion, you are just wasting your time. If you are having a party and you invited some people, there are some people that if they come to your party, that's when you will know your party is a success. If they don't come, your party is just there. There are some people if you don't come to your party, it doesn't change anything. But if you are having a party, you look at your list of guests. There are some people you really count on them to show up. When they show up, you know that this party is a success. It's like the king coming to your party or the queen coming to your party. So that was how the crown prince was. So they put a lot of pressure on him to come. He didn't want to go. Then Absalom went to meet David and told the king that, Daddy, I want to have a party and I would like you to tell my brother to come. So David was the one that said, okay, Amnon can go. So then Amnon went for the party, and when they got to the party, Absalom killed him because he raped her sister. And so the Bible said, when you are going to break the news, people, two runners were running. So when they saw, they've heard that something has happened, but they are not sure what it was. Then they saw the first runner. And Joab was with David, so, and then there are other soldiers. So one of them said, oh, we see a runner. David said, okay, it's fine. He's bringing news. Then they saw another runner. This one also was. So he said, we tried another runner. David said, David wanted to see that. David knew the news was going to be bad. Then the first runner came and said, they've killed all the princes. That was the bad news. David almost collapsed. They've killed all the princes. That was what the first one that said, that all of David's children were dead. All of David's male children had died. The Bible said David was like, what? All the princes? Then the second one came and said, no, not all the princes, just Amnon. And then Absalom has planted Jonathan there, and the boy Jonathan. And then told David that it was because of his sister that he planned it. So, where am I going? I'm trying to say that information can kill. So, if you are somebody who likes to listen to a lot of stuff, you have not set yourself apart. Well, set apart does not need information, not actual information anyway. Being set apart does not need you listen to the news. You know, people ask me, but I've been gone. So how do you know there's traffic if you don't listen to news? Well, I've not listened to the news for 10 years. Not any news. Not any. I close my world in such a way that I do not have anything to do with it. And yet, I can count myself as one of the most favored Nigerians because I have divine information from God. I know where to go, where to go there. And I always have my meetings on time. And I'm more current than many people when it comes to news from God, because I'd rather hear it from God or the Holy Spirit than hear it from newspapers. Especially because I used to be a journalist and I know that many of the news, a lot of lies. We cook things. We used to. We cook a lot of this. We cook headlines. We will sit down in the editorial room and we'll be talking about headlines. What would people want? What would grab their attention? And sometimes we will give you a false headline so that you can click on the story and then read and then realize that what we said as our main writer or the main headline or the main kicker is different from the body of the news. So because of that, I don't trust the news. But it was the same thing Daniel and his brothers did. They set themselves apart by closing their ears to the world. They were still going to be useful. They were not going to be useless. See, it wasn't that like they went lazy. No, they just closed out all the sources of negative information, food, news, music, entertainment, all sorts of things. They just shut it out. So you see what I said earlier, that religious people also do this. Religious people do this thinking that it is how to live a holy life, and they are wrong. That is not how to live a holy life. The holy life is a product of the Holy Spirit. It is not a product of the flesh or performance. A holy life is a consequence of the Holy Spirit. So if you are full of the Holy Spirit, automatically you will live a holy life. It is not in the behavior or performance. It is in the nature. The nature of the power that is in you is holy. Therefore, you are holy. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and then be unholy. It is bestowed on you. It was given unto you to make you perpetually holy. So therefore, you then begin to act in a certain way, not deliberately. You have to change from inside out. You will notice that some of the old habits, you drop them, some of the stuff you used to do, or the way you used to talk, or the way you used to think, just those changes. And those are the natural consequence of receiving the Holy Ghost and walking in Him. But that is not how you make heaven. So which was where the religious people got it wrong. You then predetermine in your heart, I want to be the best in my industry in 2 years. You don't need money to do that. Determination does not need money. You know? Say, I don't have this machine. Doesn't matter. Oh, I don't have that generator. Doesn't matter. It starts with a determination in your heart to be the best, to set yourself apart. Now, you then will begin to think of a way to do it. Say, okay, I'm setting myself apart. How will I do this? Now, that's where your creative ability begins to speak. Even when you are sleeping, when you are awake, you'll be thinking of unique ideas. Am I supposed to put my logo here? Am I supposed to do a drawing this way? Is that supposed to be a signature zip? That anywhere they see it in the world, they will say, ah, that is a JSW clothing line. That is the zip. But is that supposed to be a particular tone or feel to the material I'm using? Is there, and you can do this for anything under the heaven, anything, as long as it is your profession, that you are a master in it, you can change it a little and become known for your own brand, for your own set apart brand, for your own unique way of doing things. Was Jesus set apart? Yes. Did he set himself apart? Surely. From the way he spoke, the Bible said the disciples, they sent the temple police to go and arrest Jesus one day. Jesus was preaching. They got there and they couldn't arrest him. They went back to their masters. Their master said, we said you go arrest somebody. Where is he? You know what they said? They said, no man in this world spoke as he spoke. Those people looked at the security and said, wow, are you also bewitched? You know the meaning of no man. They were so spellbound by his words. They couldn't even obey their order. They couldn't. They were listening to him and they were climbing away. He was so set apart. He knew his onions. But before Jesus could do all that, remember that God set him apart 40 days in the wilderness. It was them having a conversation with God. It was them learning what it means to be a son of God. It was them full of the Holy Spirit and full of power. We should never forget that, which makes what we are doing now very essential. Praying. And we are doing 28 days. Jesus did 40 days. But in the season of praying in the wilderness, Jesus meditated. He prayed and then he meditated. And then at the end of it, Bible said he was tried. He was tested. And after that, there was no more temptation for him. That was the one and only time that it happened to him. So Daniel set himself apart. 10 days went by. He didn't hear from God. He wants to know that. He set himself apart, but he wasn't hearing from God for 10 days, at least 10 days. He didn't hear anything from God. He didn't see God in a vision. He didn't see God in a dream. He didn't hear anything from God. But he had set himself and his brothers, they set themselves apart. They were eating vegetables, and apart from that, they would talk about, they would read the things pertaining to Israel. They would pray to the God of Israel. They were not doing anything in common with everybody in that court of the king of Babylon. And then after 10 days, they give them a test. We said, okay, let's put to test what you said about your weight. So they went, the man in charge, vice chancellor of their university, he called all of them to line up, four of them. He weighed them as against the other students who are doing their thing, doing the general thing, and that, oh, they were healthy. They didn't lose weight. And felt okay. So whatever they are doing is working for them. So that's fine by us. It's not affecting the academics, it's not affecting their lives. So let them have it. But as soon as they passed that first test, they moved to the second level, which was that because they trusted God, they were the one that initiated trust by saying, we want to set ourselves apart. Suddenly, God began to elevate them. Let me say that again. If you don't make up your mind to set yourself apart, you will just live an ordinary life. You will complain like people complain. You will complain like people just say things are not working, things are not doing well, things are not fine, and the country is struggling. That's what you'll be saying all the time. But if you set yourself apart, you have already decided that I'm not just going to succeed in terms of having financial success. I'm going to build something great with my business. I'm going to build something beautiful with my business. I'm going to leave a legacy. I'm not just going to be one of the Babas. I'm going to be the Baba. I'm not just going to be one of the marketers. I'm going to be the marketer. I'm going to close deals that will shock the world. It is very important that as a believer, people come to identify you with excellence. They come to you when they want to solve problems, and they come to you when they have money and they are looking for where to put it, where they will get good returns. That you come to mind, they are like, oh, what can I do? How can I work with this person? How can I maximize the grace of God that is upon this person's life? You know, they think of things like that, they talk of things like that, they wonder about things like that. And you, as a believer, must know that unless you set your path and say, this is the way I want to follow, there is no spiritual force that will force you down any lane. God can call you, and you can be obedient to God, and you can be obedient to God in a non-excellent way. In a non-excellent way. You would be a pastor, but you'll be suffering. And you will say, but I've obeyed the call. But the reason you are suffering is not because you didn't obey the call. It is because you are obeying the call like every other person. You are not obeying the call in a unique way. And you should obey the call in a unique way because the call that God calls us is directly proportional to each of our abilities. It is basically custom made. One of the reasons why I insisted from day one that people shouldn't like copy Bagenga. A product of the church. I've seen many fellowships where members just end up copying the pastor. They will dress like him. They will palm their hair like him. They will wear bow tie like him. They will wear native like him. When they are walking, they will walk in his mannerism. But it is outward copying. They have no substance inside. And their leader will say spiritual leadership is spiritual, that it is what people see that people do. But the Bible made it clear that as long as we are copying the outward appearance of a thing, we are not getting it right. We have to become the substance of that thing inside for us to become truly like that thing. So I said no. So sometimes some people when they are preaching, I just see that I will just leave the service as in our own service. There are some people I notice that when they are preaching, they don't bring any original thoughts. I find that quite irritating. If I wanted to hear myself preach, I will preach, or I will listen to my own teaching. If you are going to preach and you are going to be saying the things I say, then why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to the fake version of myself? But you, the corridors you have passed through, in order to get to where you are today, I didn't pass through them. And I want to learn from you. I want to learn when you begin to speak or preach. Maybe you've passed through a particular, was this Sister Vic that was preaching on Friday, and she was talking about her experience at Covenant University. She wouldn't know that I had very similar experience when I was at Bowen. But when she was talking about her final year and the uniqueness of her experience and how they had the scholarship, whatever, in the school, and that there is a scholarship for those who are members of the church, and then there's a scholarship for those who are children of pastors, and that she wasn't the child of a pastor and all that, it made me shake my head, because we didn't have anything like that in my own school. And I was thinking, oh my God, this people had it way better. At least you have something to hope that, okay, somebody can put my name on a list somewhere. I was on the vice chancellor's list for my 100 level till I graduated. I was on the dean's roll, honors roll throughout my 4 years. I won Mr. Brain Award for 4 consecutive years. The school never gave me $1 scholarship. They didn't even have the opportunity for you to apply. There was no provision for it. So in my head, when I heard that, I said, oh, I'm going to sit down and think about this thing. I have to get somebody from Covenant University who knows how this thing works. I have to look at it, and then I have to help some people who I know their schools don't have it, to talk to the authority of their school and tell them, you should institute this thing. If Covenant University has it and it didn't die, you should also have it. It is because I listened to our original thoughts. I could say, oh, I've gained something. Let me also put it to work, because I never went to that system. It was the first time I was hearing somebody who went to university in Nigeria saying that there is a scholarship scheme in their school and you can get full scholarship and you can get 70%, you can get 50% depending on your status. And it wasn't bent on maybe, but I'll still find out later, maybe it was CGPA based or, but she only mentioned the sentimental aspect of it, pastors, children, and members of the of faith tabernacle. Anyway, my point is original thinking. So I've never been a tailor before. You want to teach, you talk according to experience. So this customer came, said this, that, this was how I handled it. People will gain. But if you are just going to come and speak generic, it's nothing special. So if it's going to be generic, I'd rather spend my time doing something else. So even if it's our service, once I notice that the person is parroting me, I'm not going to listen anymore. I'll just check out. Because the uniqueness that comes with each of us is the reason why all of us must be able to pour ourselves out as a living sacrifice for others when we minister. The uniqueness of your person, of your ministry, of the way God has configured you to be a blessing to the body. So God did not configure anybody to be a copycat of a leader of another person. Once you see people are copying somebody, mimicking somebody, talking about somebody, they do not have their own original thinking pattern. They have not set themselves apart. They are just playing religion. Religion likes to build people who speak in a similar way, think in a similar way. All of them like a group of like a school of peacocks. They just gaggle and goo gaga, and then there is no change, there is no effect. The world has no bearing. The Pharisees were like that, the Sadducees were like that, the teachers of the law were like that. All of them slept, their head in one direction. They were just like a school of elephants. But when you set yourself aside apart, you are going to have to be forced to be creative. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to be different in my endeavors. Then you have to find that thing that makes you different. That thing that will be the strength that you have, that others will then want to benefit from. And they will say, okay, there's a way this sister does this thing. I want to patronize her. So you must set yourself apart. In every endeavor, you must. When you set yourself apart, you then imagine. That is the second thing you do. Once you have set yourself apart in your heart, this is not a business concept. This is not, oh, we are going to do a business concept because we are having concept, we should set ourselves apart. No, no. It is an internal thing. My intention is to build the internal structures that you will be able to say to yourself, okay, from today, anything I do, there is a way I will do it. People will say, that's just of you speaking. That's just of you. That's just of you. It has to be just of you. And then they'll say, yeah, I said so. When I heard your voice, I knew it was you. I knew because I could hear the teaching and I knew that that's what I'm doing. It is the deliberate thing. Like I said, I can preach like another pastor, but I refuse to because I was determined that I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit help me do things the way that he wanted me to do them in a unique manner. Then you must imagine, that's the second thing. Daniel, well, after he set himself apart, they had their first test. And in that first test, they were supposed to kill them because the king had a dream and nobody could interpret the dream or nobody knew the dream. And you notice that Daniel immediately went into the realm of the metaphysical. For the first time, we saw Daniel praying. And Daniel said that, God, we want you to show us the secret. This thing, we would like to know it. So where did they pluck the answers from? They plucked them from the realm of the metaphysical. So when you started PSSBC, we started from the physical realm. Then I showed them how the metaphysical realm looked like. And I told them that, hey, you must take away certain things so that you can master your metaphysical environment. And that is what we are talking about now. Your metaphysical environment. That is the next thing. You must come to a place of imagination. If you have a petrol station, for example, you have a petrol station and you want to sell fuel and you want to sell it well, there is a way you do it. I remember one day I was sitting down at my house and I got a call from one of my old, it's elderly now, but when I was in university, he was my mentor. And he called me from Abuja and he said, God bless you. No, I was talking to a friend now, and I said I should call you. Do you remember that when you were in Bowen, it was a staff, and I was a student at the time. All of us at Bowen University. And then he said, when you were a student in Bowen, do you remember you told me that I should watch out for Bovas, that petrol station? He said I should watch out for it, that they have a way they do things, and they do not compromise. And that day, we just had the discussion. And then you told me, oh, one of their daughters is in our school. You showed me the daughter. I said, oh, I remember. He said, you know, in Abuja, went to Bovas. And I told my friend, I said, my friend has been complaining about something. I said, let's go to Bovas. And when we got there, It was exactly what you said. Exactly what you said. I said, almost 20 years after, what you said is still true. Almost 20 years after, what you said is still true. So I said, let me call you and then and tell you that, your word, in fact, I took your word to the bank and I met it that way. How was I able to talk about the integrity of that petrol station? It wasn't because of, it wasn't because I had the car at the time, or because I overheard the conversation between the owner of the petrol station and her daughter. And she told her daughter then, she said, I made a covenant with God that I would, that we would do things with integrity. And I was like, wow. And after that, I began to hear news, and news has always been consistent. She set herself apart, you see, that this is how we are going to do our thing. That will not take you to the drawing board, your imagination, you know. So if you are going to, if everybody is rigging the pump and they are selling water and they are selling nonsense and they are making some profit, but they are doing it in a corrupt way. But you want to do it properly, and you want to do it in such a way that you develop integrity, you will be known for your craft. You then have to go to the drawing board and say, okay, what am I supposed to do different? How will I instill this discipline on all my staff? How will I make sure that I won't tell them that this is what you want to do, and then one of them will not go back and do something else to spoil my name? It takes a lot of work to drum that down to people, but they did it. Drawing board. So you then go, sit down, have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Ah, Lord, I've set myself apart in this business. I've set myself apart as a minister of the gospel. This is the path I want to follow. This is my niche. You don't have any member yet. You don't have anything, but you are setting yourself apart. You are being deliberate about it. This is it. Okay, this is what we will do. When we want to do our service, we'll start our service at 2 p.m. and then we finish our service at 6 p.m. We will not collect offering. You know, what I just said, I heard somebody saying it recently, a pastor, and I was smiling. We will not collect offering. We will do it, we'll teach, we will do this, we'll do that, we will not do this. What are you doing? You're basically setting yourself apart. You're setting, yeah, you have to. And you have to do it with a conviction. And that conviction will come, in my third point, by the Spirit. You are not doing this thing as a marketing strategy. You are doing this as led by the Spirit. So if your spirit does not lead you in a direction, or you are trying to do something that you are uncomfortable, you will see that it will not work. When I was starting out as a minister of the gospel, there was a brother that was heavily trying to copy me, heavily. And I told him at the time, I said, if I sit with you on the altar, myself, yourself, and maybe two other ministers, if we sit together on the altar to minister, and then they give me the first goal, they give me the second goal, they give me the third goal. Sometimes they give me the second goal, they give me the third goal. And the power of God begins to move the way it moves in my meeting. You might be quick to think you are the one that is making the power move. Don't. I told him, I said, this has always been my dimension. This has always been me. This is me. When I go to minister somewhere, the power of God will break out anyhow. So don't make, because we are together now, I'll preach, and then you lead prayer, or you lead prayer, I'll preach, and then the ministry will start. And so one day we had a meeting, and David was also there, Pastor Feng was there. And right after I finished ministering, as I was coming down from the altar, I wanted to walk around the crowd, and then people began to move. And there was one praying in tongues on the altar at the time. So after service, I heard people agreeing, and I was telling them, can you see? When I heard the microphone, people began to fall to the right. They were falling to the left. I started laughing. I was laughing. I was laughing because I know that this is my part. This is my set apart. These are the things the Lord told me will happen. He didn't tell you they will happen in your administration, but he told me, and I know. So then we part ways now. Everybody went, and then it didn't happen in the spirit. And then he came to me and said, it was as if the power left me. I said, you never had it. You never had. I was telling you that time that you should go sit with the Lord, receive your modus operandi. How does He want to work with you? Don't copy anybody. Be true to yourself. Don't copy anybody. Don't be one of those people that have hypochondriac minister who mimic. Today they are with a prophet, they will mimic prophecy. Tomorrow they are with an apostle, they will mimic apostolic ministry. Next tomorrow they are with Tunde Bakare, suddenly they are now teacher. Another time they are with another person. Now they are doing deliverance ministry. There are some pastors without identity. I said, don't be like that. A pastor, a minister of the gospel must have identity. You cannot just be shape-shifting. And today, oh, today we are doing like this, tomorrow we are doing like that. Next tomorrow, you have no identity. You must develop it. And you must do that by setting yourself apart. And after you set yourself apart with the Holy Spirit, you concretize your thinking. The Holy Spirit will tell you, this is what you must do. This is what you must do. These are your models in scripture. It will tell you, go study Jesus. They told me, study David, study Jesus exclusively. These two characters, study them, read them until every time you open your mouth, their reality is coming out of you. And so if he told you to study Ezekiel and Hosea, and then your dimension is going to be different. And it was Moses and Jesus, David and Jesus that I studied for so many years before I began to study other characters from scripture. But those were the two principal ones that the Holy Spirit said to me to study. Their ministry, the way they talk, the way they carry themselves, their manner of worship, their manner of authority, the way they display the reality of God fearlessly as sons. He said, these are the things I want you to master, and then you will grow thereby. So it was important that every one of us, we set ourselves apart. Okay, today, setting myself for my course. I'm not going to be ordinary. In the next 2, 3 years, my reputation will have been so well grown that people will be able to say, they will just smell like this. And they'll say, I can smell JSW. It was including what I was going to be wearing at the time. I was deliberate about, okay, the choice of the kind of clothes I want to be wearing and the kind of ministration I want to do and the kind of places I want to go and the kind of crowd I want to attract. It was very deliberate. It was very, very deliberate. And I didn't want anybody around me that would be chasing people for money and be, I didn't want any unnecessary attention on, so see, never ever. I don't. So I was deliberating how to curate the kind of things that I want to do because I wanted to set myself apart. So don't forget this day two class. Don't forget today's class. It is practical in all its ways. If you have a bank here, you have a hairdressing salon, you open the booker, you have any kind of business, you must not be known as just one of the lots. There has to be a unique perspective, a unique way to deliver your offering. And I was saying, say, this thing is on child deck. I said, if the Lord ever tells me to open a restaurant or a fast food, it is going to be from the house. I'm not going to have any shop anywhere. Just going to have like 20 or 30 delivery bikes and bicycles and deliver. And I'm going to make sure they cook it from the house and deliver. And that's all. Nobody's coming to it. And that will be the 100% thing I'll do. And you have to, it is a deliberate thing how you think of how you want to execute your project in such a way that people know. And you tell them, you order now, your food will get ready in 15 minutes. Let it be known that no matter where they order from, food will be ready for 15 minutes. If you do that and it is consistent, before you know it, you take over all the online orders for food. And when you conquer a state, you move to the next state. You will not sit there in one state. When you conquer Lagos, you move to Ibadan. You conquer Ibadan, you move to Port Harcourt. And then you conquer, you put the same system in effect in every place you go until it becomes a system that nobody can break. You'll find conscientious people who will sit on it and make sure that That hard and fast rule is not broken. You do this, you rinse and play, you develop a reputation, and you notice that you set yourself apart. Everybody will say, you want to take somebody out to eat, you go to this place. But if you are hungry and you want food now, contact these people. And that's it. You have set yourself apart. I know you've heard me. As we pray together now, I'd like you to consider all the things that the Lord has laid in your heart to do this year. The business, the projects, the work that you are doing, the contracts you are handling, all the things you are doing, no matter what it is, where are you in the scheme of things? Where are you in your timing? Where are you now? I want you to talk to the Lord. Where you need time, tell the Lord you need time. Where you need fund, tell the Lord you need fund. Where you need wisdom, tell the Lord you need wisdom. Where you need God to remove an obstacle, tell the Lord to remove the obstacle. Whatever you need in the stage you are now, tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. It is important. It is the first part you take in fulfilling the wholeness and the fullness of everything that God has in stock for you. La capi de ketusha satipianas. Rakata shetedes. There must be a spiritual signature upon your products. Wherever Jesus goes, people knew it was Jesus. People will be shouting, Jesus, son of David, Jesus, son of David. Nobody mistook Jesus for John the Baptist. Nobody mistook him for Nicodemus or any other teacher. He has his unique signature. You, when you go, there has to be an ambience, a spiritual ambience on you that gives your unique signature. That people will know this is you. Among your peers, people will know this is you. This is you. This is you. This is not somebody. Nobody can copy you. Anybody that starts to copy, people will know that it's you they are copying. They will never say you are copying somebody. They say you are copying Baragwinga. But they will never say Baragwinga is copying you because they will know the signature. That's what I'm saying. That is, and by the Spirit, you are setting your course for it. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. All right, it's time to give our offering. The offering we are giving again is for the poor. If it's not for the ministry, it's for. It is as instructed by the Lord that we should make sure we take care of the widows, we take care of those who are in need in society. We are going to do this every day for this month. We are praying 24 hours, and then this 5 minutes or 4 minutes or 2 minutes, we give our people the opportunity to give an offering. Oh, thank you, Father. Bless your children. I'm declaring for them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I'm declaring the determination to set themselves apart in such a manner that the fullness of the glory of God on their life is well spoken and articulated for the world to see. Everybody will just know that there is a mark of a king on them. There's a mark of a king. There's a mark of a king. God is helping them to fine-tune the ideas inside them and to bring it to the fore for the world to see. God is placing a mark on all their products and their businesses and their work. They become so uniquely gifted and so unique in delivering that everybody around them begins to say, we can see your hand, we can see your work. We know that the Lord is with you. I'm declaring that the hand of the Lord is with you, that the glory of Zion is upon you, that the Lord has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and that you are set apart, that in that your corner, in that your place, that the Lord continues to increase you. If you have a kiosk now, within the next few months, the Lord turns it to a mall. Everything you need is supplied. Thank you, Father. We pray for all those who are poor among us, who need anything, who are suffering of one neglect or the other, that the hand of God is upon them and is making them full. I declare that you will no longer lack anything good. That the glory of Zion will be upon you, and that you would continue to consistently walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. Thank you, Father. We give you glory for you always answer our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout glory.
Glory.
Glory to God. Glory to God.